You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attenzione! Allarme qualità audio. Attenzione! Indipendentemente dalla nostra volontà, l'audio di questo podcast non è qualitativamente eccelso. Ciò nonostante, la redazione di Fantascientificast ne ha scelto ugualmente la distribuzione, poiché i contenuti sono interessanti ed il livello dell'audio non pregiudica la loro comprensibilità e fruizione. Ringraziamo fin d'ora i nostri pod ascoltatori per la loro pazienza e comprensione.
Scotty, we need power.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
So first of all, thanks again, Gary, for coming, and thanks again for telling me or emailing me the great I was a costume designer, because I think it was really, I know that it was your first panel and probably the last one in your life, because you don't want to do it, but it was really, really interesting. They were talking, you know, during that, you see, Greta, do they really enjoyed it, so.
I enjoyed it too, actually.
It was interesting for me, too. It was. No, I find Greta's work very interesting. I ask her all the time, don't I?
You do.
We talk a lot because there's certain things about behind the camera, costumes, that I don't know go on. And I always go, how do you do that? How did you, what happened when, you know, the director said that, or what happened when an actor did that, or... You know, I just find it really, really interesting because it's like nothing like I do, so.
And by the way, one of Greta's children, he's a prop artist and how do you call it, food?
And
fake food artist.
Yes, yeah, so he does, it's called food styling.
Food styling.
So he just worked on, I think they're filming Grease, is that right? They're filming the movie Grease or the TV show Grease?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's been recreating food from
the 60s.
The 50s.
The 50s.
The 50s, which was really strange looking food. But he's been recreating it using things that aren't like you would expect. So he does that, and he does a lot of props.
So of course, I told Greta that he will probably be one of the guests of the following years. Very near.
Yeah,
very soon.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he's got a lot of great stories. I think you'd enjoy him.
I remember one day he called Greta up, because Greta's a good cook, and we like to have, at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, we have like a traditional meal that, roast potatoes, that kind of thing. And Greta makes Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, I love it.
Primo Yorkshire pudding. And so one day Jack called up Greta and said...
He said, hey, Mom, you know how you're the best Yorkshire pudding maker? I said, what do you want? And he said, well, I'm just wondering if you could make... Gosh, how many was
48.
It? 48. No, it was more than that. I think it was about like 60 or something. It was about 60. And I said, what, Yorkshire pudding? And he said, yeah, could you make 60? And I said, sure, I can make 60, I think. And he said, by tomorrow. So I did. And it was for some show. And they wanted. And then I started to really get into Yorkshire pudding on camera. So I made my ones, and then I realized because it was going to go on camera, there were, like, did it have enough definition, enough depth of color, so I started to look into ones that might be a little bit more interesting. So I was like, do you want this one, or do you want this one?
So you had to select the Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, which were the best.
Because that does make it, like, sometimes you forget about that. You forget that when you see it on screen, you can make... the item, you put it on screen, and then it just looks flat. It doesn't sort of jump out, so yeah. They go, what are we going to do? And they'll do things like they'll spray it with, like, oil or whatever. It could even be food covered with, I don't know, like motor oil or something like that, some foreign agent to that where you can't eat it. But it looks fantastic on screen. And glue. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That happens. That happens all the time.
So. And it's. It's a college degree. You have a specialty in this kind of stuff or not?
Well, it's interesting because Jack, being my son, has grown up on sets.
Sure.
So he would come to the sets. My ex-husband was a props master as well.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's actually learnt sort of right in the field.
Sure.
So he didn't go to school. He's literally just worked his way up through who he's known and picking up
experience
all the way along. And now he's one of the new people that are, the younger people that are out there. And we just actually had an opportunity to work together. I had a very difficult request, which was that this director wanted a mattress, like that you would sleep on. He wanted a mattress that was like a human. Let me try and explain it. He wanted the mattress to have a life of its own for this particular, it was a commercial. He wanted the mattress to be on the back of a motorbike. He wanted the mattress to be doing yoga in the park. Like, it was a very strange commercial. And I asked my son, Jack, I said, can you help me with this? And he got a, he loved it. He loved
course,
the challenge. He got the mattress, he found a mattress, he took all the insides out, I believe, and he built a new frame inside, and then an opening, the mat, and he got in it. There was a, we showed the director how it worked, and he got in it, and he was just, very tiny eye holes so that he could get inside and not
So he did the commercial. I mean,
he did. We worked together. He did the props. He did.
But he was inside the mattress. Oh, great!
He was inside the
during
thing.
The commercial.
I think they hired someone. They hired someone to do it. But in order to do a promo,
sure.
Sometimes they want to see. A director can have an idea.
A prototype.
Yes. Kind of a crazy idea, and they go, make this work, and you need to show. If you can make it work, if you can't make it work, you need to show why. So it was good to sort of problem solve together. And, Jack got inside this and he said, anyone inside here is going to need to have cooling fans. So I then was problem solving with him and I started to get a cooling jacket, a special cooling jacket and cooling hat that the actor could wear inside of the mattress. So it was good.
Wow.
It worked. We made it work. Yeah.
What a family.
I mean, it's never dull. And in fact, because I live on a corner, Jack is always trying out props outside of my house. The neighbors are like, there's always like, we had giant exploding pinatas outside of the house one day? It's just like, oh, it's Greta's house, Or we had a car. They were using your car with all these balloons that with some big gun and the balloons were hitting the car and it was yeah. There's always some.
Yeah, I know if Jack calls me and says, "Are you using your car next Tuesday?" Whatever. I know
and why?
Yeah, why? What do you
what
need?
Do you need? Yeah.
And he'll like he said. Well, we need to. I didn't even get to see it. I just said, yeah, sure, because I know he'll be respectful and whatever. But he said, I need to fire loads of balloons at a car. And I couldn't even imagine what that would look like, but I just said, sure. And he paid me $100 for the loan of my car, and that was it. And afterwards, I said, how did it go? And he went, oh, great. It was really good. And that was it, but I didn't see it. So, yeah.
They need it because they have to test. Well, it's a problem that they have to work out before they get to set. How to get the balloons all firing in one direction. How to contain them so you can do take after take after take. So the balloons aren't flying, everywhere. Same with the pinata. It had to go off exactly, and it had to cover a certain area.
Yeah.
As it was hit. Yeah. So, lots of exploding things outside the house. Yeah.
Ci sono domande?
I was. It's funny that listening to Greta today talk about. Her background in theater, and I was telling her about this one story where, because I did theater and I've been in plays, and it's just the kind of things that audience members don't really realize, don't think about. But when you do a play, and you need a costume change, when you're first rehearsing and you get on stage. It says, you leave this all and you change completely and then you come back on. But you don't realize how quickly you have to come back on in like 10 seconds, And when you read this in the script and you talk to the director, you go, well, this is never going to happen. Like it's impossible because it's too fast. And somehow the director says, well, it has to be that way. You have to do it. So you have to work it out. So what you end up doing is you do everything in slow motion. And you work with people in the wings. So the people in the wings are waiting. And you go, okay, so I'm going to leave, and I'm going to walk towards you slowly. And as I past the curtains, I will take my jacket off, and then somebody's waiting with another jacket, and as you take one jacket off, one arm comes out, and then you put one arm in, and then they put your jacket on, and then somebody has a tie ready, and they put the tie around your neck, and they do it up.
A pit stop.
It's a total pit stop. Thank you. That's a great way of describing it. It's like a racing car, Formula One pit stop with the tires and the oil and the gas. And you think, how is this going to happen? And before you know it, by the end of the play, it just happens like that. And you can't ever imagine then thinking that it couldn't be done. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know? And there was in the Stargate show, in the 200th episode, there was a quick scene where they were all leaving to go up the ramp and go through the puddle into another planet, and I was in the control room in my usual flight suit, and my green flight suit. And the general turns to me and says, "Hey, Walter," one of my names. He remembered. He says, "Hey, Walter, come and join us. Join us." And I say to him, "I can't. I'm not." Because they're all in black ops, you know, with flak jackets and helmets and machine guns and everything. And I just have a flight suit on. And I say, "I can't, I'm not dressed for it. I'm not dressed to come with you." And he says, "Oh, come on." So I go, "Okay." And I turn and I walk and out of frame, and I come around and I go down some steps and I come around the corner. I am completely dressed. What was your name again?
Emilio.
I was dressed exactly like Emilio was dressed, with a helmet, the boots, jacket, machine gun. And I just come around the corner and I go, "Okay, here I am." And fans who've seen the episode, I get asked so often, "How did you do that? How did that happen?"
You went to the
and it's because and I was even explaining it to Greta. What they do is they do this little trick, but it's only for a couple of seconds with a camera. They point the camera at the entrance to where I'm going to come around up here, and it's called locking it off. They lock it, so there's no movement, right? The camera is, and so when I leave and I say, he says, "Come on," and I go, "Oh, okay," and I turn to walk, I have to say to him, the camera is looking at me, where do you not see me? Where do I disappear out of the frame? And I'll take a few steps and he'll say, "Okay, right there, we don't see you, you're now out of frame." So I know that if I take three steps, they can't see me. So as soon as I do that, I've already got like an outfit underneath my flight suit that's different, right? Black t-shirt and whatever. And so I go, okay, and I take a couple of steps, and as I'm stepping, I'm zipping down my flight suit and I'm out of frame, pulling it off. And it's because of my theater background that I knew that this could happen, and I knew we could just do it right away. I didn't have to go through a big mental process of how is that. I'd already done it so many times on stage in plays that it was easy. It's an attitude or a mindset. And I walked down the steps and I pulled my flight suit like this, and they ripped it off. They ripped it down. I stepped out of it. I was already in black. I then stepped into a pair of boots that were open. You know, the laces were open. I just slipped my feet into the boots. They put a flak jacket on me. I just go like this. And as I'm putting the flak jacket on, somebody's putting a helmet on my head. And as soon as that happens, they hand me a sheet. And I'm almost still walking. Just before I come out and appear, they hand me a machine gun. And then I walk around the corner. And it looks like, it happens in real time. And that's the kind of thing, that's where you would work with the costume department, because they're great, they know this stuff, everybody knows what they're doing. But as Greta said earlier, when you're on a big production, you have way more people. So there were probably four people helping me just to get that little moment. But if I was on a tiny production, you know, it would be just Greta. It would be more difficult to do.
So Gary, if you had to choose, se qualcuno vuole fare qualche domanda, mi aiuta, mi fa piacere. If you had to choose TV series to act in, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
TV series, improvisation, or theater, what would you choose, and why?
I would choose more theater or improvisation. Improvisation is a lot of you thinking it up yourself. You're just going, what can I do? Like, how can I create this? With theater, it's smaller, and it's more what Greta talks about a small team, and you really connect with the people. You can do more impressive things on TV and film, but it's just not, it's kind of like, oh, that was cool, but it's not the same. You know, you just make more relationships and better connections with probably theater.
Yes, and plus with theater, you have people in the audience.
People in the audience, yeah, right there. And they're like, oh my God, you know, like you can feel them. You can feel the energy. But, you know, if you do TV or film and you make a mistake, they just do it again.
Exactly.
You just go, okay, well, let's just try that again. Or you practice it. In theater, no. It's like you do it. That's why you rehearse it so many times and go slow motion, and then you slowly speed up, so that you're doing it so quickly that the audience is like, it's really impressive. That's very cool. Yeah. There are no silly questions.
Okay. If it was up to you to choose your character name in Stargate, what your character names would have been?
Out of the ones I have, you mean? Or just that I could...
My name that maybe you like for...
Oh, no, no. Honestly, I ended up really loving my name, because of the way the names occurred.
Created.
You know?
No,
that just sounds, that sounds crazy to have four names, you know? I was happy just to have a name, but, you know, because having a name meant, like I said, it's harder to kill my character. They have to come up with a reason to write me out of the show. So that was, just having a name itself was good, but I'm so fond of the way that those names came up. It just makes me laugh, and I don't know on what show that would ever happen again. to be established as a character for everybody to know you as that character, and then at one point you are a completely different name, but you are the same person. It's beyond me.
And
know?
What about, oh, scusa, vai, Emma. Come vuoi? So Emanuele is asking, when you are watching, for example, period drama or mm-hmm. something like that, and you notice anachronism, you don't have this word, for example, a watch.
Oh, mistakes that they make.
Yes, there are mistakes, but you don't have a word that means the wrong period time.
Oh, the wrong period of time.
Yes, like, you know, a watch during...
Yes, yes.
With the dinosaurs, yes. For example. Oh, you don't have it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, I will... Okay, you answer and I will check. Mi controllate come si dice un agronismo?
No, I don't know the word, but...
Yeah, no, explain.
But I understand.
Yes. Yes. 1940 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, his question was, if you notice, how do you react? Because when you work in the field,
yes.
I think the way you watch a TV series or a movie or whatever is completely different from the audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it really is a blessing and a curse in a way. Like, I find I'm often distracted from the whole thing because of the costume just doesn't seem right, or it's taking over in some ways. But to your point, have I ever noticed? I've seen more inconsistencies in continuity, I would say, more than an anachronism. Yeah,
if that's the word.
Yeah, if that's the word. I have definitely been on set. We were doing a very big photo shoot. It was for Penn Station in New York. It was this artist, Stan Douglas, was doing these specific photographs. And we had so many people creating these tableaus. It was a big shoot. This was just a few years ago. And you're trying to keep track of everybody. There was probably 100 people. We had extras. Everybody was in period costume, and I'm going up and down before they start shooting. We were placing everyone. I'm going up and down, checking, and there was one person who had. There's a lot of waiting time in between shots. They had gone sat down, and then they'd come back to set without the right piece of clothing, and they'd slipped their own shoes back on. And they had their handbag that was, and you have to be so vigilant to make, you know, I was scanning everywhere. I was like, those shoes? It's completely wrong shoes, you know. What's this handbag? So I've only had it a couple of times for myself, but when I'm watching a show on TV, it's more the inconsistencies with continuity. And there's a show you might have seen a long time ago. They show it when you're training to be a costume designer, being costume. It's I think it's called Jagged Edge. Is that the name of the film?
Yeah.
The Jagged Edge with
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges and Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
And if you watch that film, she changes. I don't know what they were doing, the costume department, because you're watching her apparently go to court, and yet in one day she's wearing three or four different suits. It's very confusing. And I think also is it The Untouchables with
Kevin Costner
and Sean Connery?
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
One shot, they're having a conversation, his tie is done up, next one is... tie is down here. Next one, shirt collar is open. That is, for me, a nightmare. Watching that, I'm like, ugh. So, yeah, I see that more than, yeah.
Maybe could be an
editor
error, because I think they shoot the same scene several times, maybe different days.
Oh, yeah.
But when
yes.
The editor,
well, we have a con.
There should have been someone to say, look, here we have the tie.
There is. There, and yes, to your point, there is. There's a person, their job is continuity. They call them scripty or continuity.
Script supervisors.
Continuity. That is their job. I also take it on as my job. So when it's my baby, I watch for that. And sometimes I've had we're just about to roll, and I have to say to the director, hang on 1 second. And I've run in to
fix it.
To fix something. I've had some nightmares when back in the early days when I was starting, when I was quite new in Vancouver, I got a job with one of these rock and roll directors, some rock and roll guy that's like, I want to be a director now. I didn't really understand the job definition for everyone. And we were doing a BC tourism. So we were on the road with
British British Columbia tourism, the province.
Yes.
That we're
oh, the province.
From.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we were on a tour bus, because he was some rock guy from rock, on a tour bus with racks of clothing, and he would literally say, stop the bus, that's where we want to shoot. And we would have to, the actors, we'd have to get out and take these shots. And I can remember him seeing this little island as we were driving the bus, and he said, stop the bus. It was a scene with a man in a tuxedo and a woman in a ball gown. He wanted to shoot them on this little island in the middle of the water. We piled into a little rowing boat. And I was holding the clothes in my arms because there was nowhere for these people to get dressed even. And I can remember, kind of like you had to do, putting these things on really quickly, and we were losing the light. The sun was going down. So, come on, come on, come on. And I remember just as they were about to shoot, I saw this huge price tag hanging down. off the, I was like, running, stop. So I ran in, and it was like I almost ran, and as I ran past the actor, I went, and I ran past and out again. It was like a, yeah, so.
That's one of the things that, again, that you don't realize, that when Greta would get hired for the small shoots, she has to go out and buy a ton of clothes, and she always keeps the price tags on them because she returns them. They all have to go back.
Well, no. Well, only pieces that we don't use. So you keep
right.
you keep everything until they say yes. We sign off on that, and then we can make sure we can change things. We can, but yes.
It's in terms of continuity. One time, and this is I'd been doing Stargate for years now, and I was in a scene. The new general was Bo Bridges, who was, you know, the new general, like a movie star. It was amazing. And often I would be sitting at my computer and the general's standing behind me. And I have an 8x10, like a photograph that I usually sign at conventions. I'm not sure if I have one here. I might have chosen it, but it's so interesting because this photo got taken of me while I was in the scene with Bo Bridges, and it took me back to the scene. I had two pairs of glasses on. I had my own glasses, and then I had my prop glasses, which were my fake glasses that I couldn't read from. The lenses were, you know, not my lenses, and I had them there. So when I in between scenes, and we're waiting.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I would always have a magazine, and I would just be reading a magazine. And so when I wanted to read the magazine, I grabbed my own glasses, put the prop glasses up here, put my glasses on, and I would read the magazine. And then they said, okay, we're going. And I forgot that I had my own, and of course I can see everything now, but I didn't clue in that I was that I had another pair of glasses on my head, and they shot the scene. They shot the scene, and they shot it a couple of times. Nobody noticed. No one noticed. The director didn't notice. Bo Bridges didn't see me with another pair of glasses like this, and I didn't notice. Because I couldn't feel them. They were just.
Who noticed at the end?
The script supervisor, when it was done, and everything was not going to be shot again, the script supervisor came up to me, and I still had the two glasses on my head. And she said, "Gary, were you wearing those two pairs of glasses during the scene?" And only then did I go, "Oh my God!" And that's when I realized that I had the second pair of glasses on my head. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, yes." And she said, "I guess your character wears two pairs of glasses now." And it was like, really? Like that's how it can just go like that. You know, they go, "Oh, well, that's what your character does now." And from then on, I could literally wear two pairs of glasses in a scene.
Oh, so it was
like as if Walter's eyes got worse over the years.
Four names and two pairs of glasses.
It just made me laugh so hard. I was like, it's hilarious.
A pair of glasses for each name.
Yeah. One lens per name, yes.
Nowadays.
Yeah, modern day.
Yeah, modern day. Mm. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't let the actors wear a real pair of glasses instead of having a prop?
Oh, good question. That's because if you wear your own glasses, which have lenses in them and are expensive, and they're your glasses, and you've paid for the lenses, if something happens to them during shooting, like a lens gets scratched or something, or they break, or your glasses break, they're not going to, the production will not replace them.
Yeah, but there are also the lens, the deformer your face.
They still give you prop glasses with lenses that are curved, you know what I mean? Like that are actual, that look like lenses. And I'll tell you, it's funny. I've told Greta this too. It drives me crazy when I see an actor wearing a pair of glasses and the light catches the lens, and you know that it's not a lens. It's a flat piece of glass. And as soon as I see that, I go, I'm out. It bugs me so much. It bugs me. I go, why couldn't you just get a fake pair of glasses with actual lenses that are very weak, but they're still curved? As soon as you see flat, it's like they cross the light and they go white. And it really bothers me. So that's why they would rather supply you with fake glasses that can be broken or something done to them than your own glasses. And like Greta says, when you, like she will buy, she will go out and buy multiple versions of a shirt or a pair of pants. The props department will buy multiple pairs of glasses. So if a pair gets broken, they just go, okay, here's another pair. But they can't do that with your glasses. Yeah.
And also, just to add to that, we always put non-reflective lenses in. So I will get, once the pair of glasses has been chosen that will fit, because in some productions, I take care of the glasses too. In others, it's props. But I always make sure that once we've fit them on the face, that we put non-reflective in, so that the camera department isn't fighting, the lighting isn't fighting with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like you asked too, great that she has seen everything everywhere all at once, and if she will have like to work in such a crazy project.
thanks for that question. It's funny because I feel I need to watch it again. I started watching it, and to be honest, I got, halfway?
We got halfway through.
Halfway through, and I thought,
yeah.
I'm not getting this. It wasn't doing anything for me. So I don't feel I can properly answer your question because I haven't seen it all the way through. After watching some of the clips that were shown at the Oscars, I felt like I need to watch this all the way through now, because I felt like I wasn't really getting what was coming across at the very beginning. So I might have to get back to you with an answer, with a proper answer for that.
Live ammunition.
Yeah. What do you think of this accident? And do you ever find yourself in a certain situation that was dangerous because something was wrong in the props and the
We've had, because we're in the business, we've had discussions with many of our friends who are in the business, and people get upset about it. I mean, obviously, you just get upset because somebody died.
Of course.
But it was, most of our friends feel it was entirely preventable because they say the problem was that it was low budget. It was a low budget, and so once it's low budget, certain departments there's not enough money. There's not enough money. They cut corners. And so the money that should have gone to a department where the guns are being fired and you need a props master what are some of the job titles? Like, do you remember? It was
an armorer.
Yes, yeah. An armorer. So that's a person who is hired specifically just to deal with guns. But because it was low budget, she did more than one job, Bob.
And there shouldn't be any loaded bullets on the set.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, for sure. For sure.
They were breaking every rule there was. Mm. I did guns a lot in my career.
Yeah.
And they broke all the rules that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. And
So the actor too has to check the gun.
Keep on saying that he had no responsibility, that's not correct. In the way I grew into the business, the armorer should have been with him when he handed the gun. It was handed to apparently by an AD, which is incorrect.
What is an AD?
Assistant director.
Oh, an assistant director, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and I've been in that position too. I can't remember what show it was, but I know I've been handed a gun. They will open the chamber. They'll come to you and they'll say to you, they'll even say on a walkie-talkie, opening the chamber, they'll tell people. Won't they do that, Bob? They are so safety conscious. They'll say, I'm with, let me do my job. they'll say, I'm with Gary. I'm showing him the weapon now. And I'm opening the chamber. And so everybody hears that I am with a person and he is opening the chamber of the gun. And he'll say, Gary, can you see? Can you see down through the, you know, and then it's, when you look through the chamber, it's just empty, the holes. And then he will slowly spin the chamber and say, you can see that it's empty? Yes, it's empty. And it's verbalized, so everybody can hear it. So this idea of Alec Baldwin being handed a gun with not just bullets in it, but a live bullet is beyond, I've never been in a situation where you just get handed a gun and you don't know what's in it. It's crazy. Yeah, unprofessional. Like, there are too many departments, especially if you're doing a Western where you know there are gonna be weapons. Shotguns, pistols, you know, it's a weapons-based show. So you have to have all the departments. So the minute it's low budget, the departments start doubling up. They will start going, well, you're not just the armorer, but now you're also the props person. And it's too much, and mistakes get made. And that's kind of how that happens. Yeah.
Yeah, but how could a real gun be on set?
Who knows? I mean,
they are real guns. Ah, only the bullets are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they just made a mistake with the bullets.
Somebody brought live ammunition onto the set, which should never, ever, exactly. ever happen. I mean, in Stargate once, I was in a scene where the base was being attacked, and my character, for the first time, had to fire an automatic machine gun. And I remember they said to me, okay, we're going to shoot that scene now. They said, go outside with one of the union members, one of the weapons people, and they will, one of the stunt people, and they will, and you can fire the machine gun. And so he gave me the machine. He put a clip in it, you know, like that had all the bullets inside it. But he showed me that they were, they didn't have bullet tips. They just had, it's called, they're blanks. But here's the strange thing. Even blanks are majorly dangerous. They can't fire a bullet into you, but if you shoot you, like close up, they could. Yeah. Yeah. So. And what this person on set told me, he wanted me to, he said, okay, I'm going to hand you the gun, and we'll take the safety off, and we were out in the parking lot, and he said, you just aim at that fence, there was nothing there. He said, but I need you to feel what the gun feels like, and I'd never done that before. And I started to get really nervous. I started to kind of shake a little bit, like it was like, because it was building up. And he said, I'm going to count to three and then just pull the trigger. And he said, and the gun will fire for as long as you are holding the trigger, right? So it's fully automatic. But he said, but here's the trick. Once it stops firing, you point the gun down immediately. You just do not, like, don't wave the gun around, because if I was in a scene with you, and I fired the gun, and then I went like this, he said, sometimes the gun has stopped firing because it's jammed.
Huh.
The bullet has jammed in the chamber. Not that the clip is empty, but it's jammed. And if your finger is still on the trigger and you go like this, I could fire that blank at Flora, and I could kill her possibly. So it's like whenever you're holding the gun, your finger has to be alongside of it like this. It cannot be on the trigger, and only until you're firing it. So you point like this, like that, and then when you're in the scene, they yell action, and you start firing. As soon as the gun stops, you take your finger off the trigger, put it to the side of the gun, and point it down. And so that's the kind of protocol that that they go through.
It's the same protocol when you use real gas.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Very, very, like I've only been, my only experience has been like incredibly safe. Like the people around it are like very, very safety oriented because nobody wants to be in the position that you're talking about, you know? And the weird thing is that suddenly everybody's like, well, it wasn't me, or I don't know how that happened, or I did this, and everybody's sort of like, suddenly nobody's connected to the gun, you know? It's like, I don't know how that happened.
And how did it end?
I think he got charged with manslaughter or something, or like people have been...
And the armorer.
So and the armorer, yeah, have been charged, yeah. And now there's civil lawsuits and criminal law. I can't, there's differences, but
the weapon wasn't perfectly working in the state, and it could not be fired without the finger
without pulling the trigger.
It could not fire by accident,
right?
So his finger was on the trigger,
right. As the producer of the movie, and that's the other thing. As the producer of the movie, his responsibility is to get funding for the money, funding sure. for the film. So the fact it's strange, you know, the fact that it was a low budget film has to do with how much money Alec Baldwin could get for the film. So he goes, okay, we have this much money for the film, and now we're going to divide up money for the departments, and then the decision gets made to join up. You know, so. There's a weird paper. There's a paper trail back to it, but everybody backs off and says that it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. It was like, you know.
They also are still producing it to give all the money that will get out of it to the family.
To the family, yes. I mean, my God. I think so many people will watch that film. That film will be seen. It's now such a famous incident that so many people will watch that film.
Like Donatella said, like The Crow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ok, concludiamo con un'ultima domanda un po' più allegra, così finiamo. Vai Gino.
Yeah.
But in the following scenes, you had two prop glasses, not your prescription ones, of course. Because you couldn't...
No, that's a good point. I now can't remember. I can't remember whether or not I had my glasses, because they were my glasses. Yeah. That's right. Good point. Continuity. You know, I can't remember. Probably I wore my own glasses, because all my scenes were I was just sitting down. There were no action scenes. You know, I wasn't running around. So I was just at a keyboard. I could be in briefs. I could.
I'm so
but
sorry.
But I will tell you that on some occasions, I'm in a flight suit and flip flops. Because it's hot, and I just yeah.
In Star Wars,
Grand Moff Tarkin, the Gary Fisher said it was difficult to
not to laugh
without laughing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a flight suit is one piece, so I couldn't really, you know, be in briefs, but I was in flip-flops, and it was very comfortable.
The scene where you changed from the flight suit to the uniform,
yep,
was modified so that it could be ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
Like for a stripper.
In that scene, when I was in the control room in my flight suit, I had no shoes on. I was in just my socks. So there's no point having boots on and then having to take the boots off. So I just didn't have boots on, so that when I walked down, they tore them off, and then I just stepped into another pair of boots. Yeah. So it's called underdressing. It's called underdressing, isn't it? You underdress. So, you know, whatever you're going to come out in is revealed. Yeah.
You know, and even if Gary, as an actor, said, oh, it's to the costume person, it's too hot, can you make me a flight suit? Can you take one and just make it into shorts at the bottom? Because nobody's seeing. The director would probably say no, because you want to be able to have that opportunity to, if... Yes, he normally sits, but if it was like, but I want to have the opportunity to go either way, that he could suddenly stand up, or, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have like, oh, but he's in shorts.
Yeah. 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 And if it got to the point where I was saying, can you make the flight suit into shorts? That means that I'm just there, you know, I'm not even really connected to my job. It's yes. More about my comfort level than it is looking like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine.
Also, the US Air Force was really interested in SG-1, and it would not approve the kind of...
Right, yes.
Yeah, yeah. SG-1 was very, they ran all their scripts, everything, the military aspect of it and the Air Force aspect of it, the scripts were sent to...
a consultant.
To an Air Force consultant at an air base in the States, in California. So the scripts, I remember when Richard Dean Anderson's character... changed, so he became the general. They replaced him with a guy named Ben Browder, and in one of my first scenes with Ben Browder, he just comes in and says hello to me, and he says, "Hey Sarge," and I think Bob was mentioning dailies, you know, where you see the dailies and you show the dailies. They sent the dailies to California, because the Air Force would watch the dailies as well, and a memo came back immediately, and Ben Browder's character cannot address Gary's character as Sarge. It's either Walter or Chief. That's it. Yeah, and since they hadn't given me the name Sarge, but in fact I have a copy at home. I have a copy of the email. They gave it to me, and the Air Force said, make sure that gets changed, because that would never happen. And just to finish up, but Stargate was so specific and true to the military protocol that one time a husband and wife at a convention came up to me, and we were just talking about the show. They loved the show, and the guy's wife, the guy was retired from the military, but the guy's wife said to me, she said, for most times, he is a nightmare to watch military shows with, because he knows everything, and he just goes, fake, no way, bullshit, that would not happen. And she said it drives her crazy, because he can't, it He ruins the show for her because it's so ingrained in him that, and she said, Stargate is the only show I can watch with him where he says nothing. I thought that was pretty good.
Sure.
I thought that was pretty good, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Plus, is Ben Browder American or Australian? Because Claudia Black was definitely Australian. They both came from Farscape.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he's...
No, he's American.
Oh, he's American.
He's American, yeah.
So you use Sarge in American? I mean, not in the Air Force. I mean, you can call somebody Sarge for Sergeant.
Sarge, I don't know. See, I don't know what the
Let's
protocols
ask
are.
Let's Matteo, who was in the military.
But they basically said they... Right.
Because it's...
It's disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Okay. It's all about hierarchy and respect and protocols. And so I didn't know. I heard him say that, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's my rank. But the Air Force said, no way.
But it's great, I think, when a show like Stargate had, consultant. Because not every show gets a consultant.
No.
Now and then you have so terrible things.
I don't remember which movie it was, but there was a movie where it was about a bunch of Marines, and the Marines always referred to the sergeant as Sir. which is something. If you call an NCO sir, you get the answer, and then you refer only to sergeant, not sir, not the officer.
Right, right.
You don't have to.
No, perché da quello, from what Emilio said, I didn't understand the word.
That's me.
Sì, sì, ma va bene.
Sir is only for the officer.
Ah, okay.
Se tu chiami un sergente sir, intanto ti mettono a fare... Proprio. E poi la frase io lavoro per vivere e i miei genitori hanno sposato fra di loro.
Ma you don't have to have a consultant for that.
No, well, that's no.
In the United States, it's a common thing.
Also, the Marines are so strict about that. The thing is that if one is gunnery sergeant, he can be called gun instead of sergeant. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Gary, thanks again for coming, and Greta, thanks again.
Thank you so much. And I just want to quickly say, I want to thank you, Flora, for inviting me to this convention.
No, thank Gary. No. Thank David.
David Nickel, who put me in touch with Flora. But this has been such a special convention to appear at. And it's made more special for me, honestly, you have no idea, that I got to appear at a convention with Greta, which I have never done, ever. On top of that, I know Greta, she has a kind of fear about speaking in front of people. I've seen that melt away. The fact that she's just up here talking to you, you have no idea. So you people have been so wonderful and treated us so well. I just want to really thank you for the
bottom of
my heart.
Thank you, but as Marco told you since the beginning, we are idiots, so it's not a problem.
So thank you. Thank you.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia, è un podcast originale Latitudine Zero. Da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafini con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof. Massimo De Santo, realizzato da Latitudine Zero, Median Fabric. Showrunner Omar Serafini. Sound design Fabio Marchionni e Julian Ziegler. Post produzione Gismar Bum. Creative producer Annalise Haas e Valentina Folkov. Coordinamento e promozione Veruska Sabucco. La voce di Val 9000 è di Valeria Barbera. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.com, sul profilo Instagram Fantascientificast, sul canale Telegram Fantascientificast e sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity, oppure scrivendoci all'indirizzo email redazione@fantascientificast.com. Tutti gli episodi sono disponibili gratuitamente sul nostro sito e su tutti i principali servizi di streaming on demand. Se volete sostenere il nostro progetto offrendoci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, troverete tutte le informazioni e modalità nell'apposita sezione del nostro sito. Il podcast non intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Val 9000 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento al prossimo episodio lungo la rotta di Kessel. E ricordate, la fantascienza finge di guardare dentro il futuro, ma in realtà guarda il riflesso della verità che è davanti a noi. Scientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.